afternoon.
Hi, is Chris there?
Chris, no.
Is this Tom?
Yes, it is.
Tom, hi, this is Keith from the Weekly Dig in Boston.
Hi, Keith.
I've been scheduled to chat you up for a bit.
Yeah.
Are you awake?
I've just about, yeah. Are you?
Yeah, barely as well. It's a little bit later. I'm in the East Coast. It's about 5 here, so.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but it's, I'm just waking up.
Boston,
East Coast.
Whereabouts is that? Is that, like, near Philadelphia?
No, it's north of New York.
Right.
It's about 4 hours by car.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, 45 minutes by the Crow's Boston, Head, I guess. Indeed. But it's very close.
Is that where MIT is?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I'm right on the, I'm on the Harvard campus.
Oh, you're right.
Which is right, yeah, Harvard and MIT are right here.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The MIT is it's pretty hip.
Indeed.
There's a lot of tech going on over there.
Yeah, right.
As you'd assume from the name. Anyways, let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk about music. You haven't played out there yet, right? The what are you playing at Bottom of the Hill tonight? Or?
What? I've not played what?
You're not played yet out there, okay.
In America?
No.
No, I've not played. This is the first...
Tonight's
I've been there, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So tonight is my first gig.
Great.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, God knows if it'll go well or not, hopefully. But I'd prefer it to, obviously.
What's the venue? It's,
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
The name.
And then is that and this Coachella? Is that the one? That fest?
That's it, yeah. They're the only two of the gigs I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. Coachella will be insane, I guarantee that.
You reckon?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's outdoors. There's a lot of pagans, you know, some sort of sun worshippers and hedonists.
Wicked.
People like that. So you'll have a good time.
I mean, that sounds good to me.
As long as nobody hands you a kitten.
What's that?
You know, as long as no one hands you a kitten expects you to care for the kitten, then you'll be all right.
Oh, fuck that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. So there's just these few gigs and you're playing with Plaid tonight or something, right? So,
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That'll be good. So okay. Why so long? You don't have to flying or?
Well, why so long what? To
come up
to get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like I just hate going on planes.
Yeah, I understand that.
But, like, basically, I don't know, I've just decided, like, I don't care. I just want to fucking go around the world now, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I'm so into, like, kind of, you know, it's weird, yeah, I don't know, really. It's just, like, I think I've just finished, like, a really long sort of period of work and stuff, and I'm just into holiday.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but then again, I don't think I'm very good at going on holiday anyway, because all I do is get fucking really bored, and you know, I want to sort of talk to someone or I get itchy feet, and I want to fucking walk around and do something, and it's just like, I don't know, I'm sort of going around, like, you know, talking to journalists and doing gigs and stuff. It's like, it's pretty weird, but it's interesting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I always think, like, when I'm talking to journalists, it's as much as I'm. As you're interviewing me, I feel like I'm like checking people out as well, you know.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So that's good. It was interesting, yeah, definitely.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I make music as well. I mean, but
cool.
This gig as well as the writing, so.
Cool.
Yeah, okay, so what else do I know? Oh, I want to talk about some sort of really, like, curious stuff, because I hear rumors. We get sort of, you know, the tail end of rumors out here because everything takes so long to travel across the ocean. So,
right.
I heard that you were playing with this free jazz trio for a while. Did that actually happen?
Yeah.
The totally. Hessian Wilkinson Fell trio, only without Simon, I assume, right?
No.
That thing never happened.
I don't. Who is it with again?
You know these guys, Hessian Wilkinson and Fell.
Like, oh no, Hessian.
Yeah, it's like Paul Hessian and Alan Wilkinson. Those two guys.
Yeah, no, it's with Paul Hessian, but
yeah,
with Mick Beck on.
Oh, Mick Beck, right? Beck. Yeah. Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, so no, it's not not Wilkinson, and obviously not Phil.
No, obviously not Phil, yeah. That'd be a tight one.
I was supposed to be doing a gig with him, actually, but...
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what happened about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we were supposed to be, like, doing, like, we're just doing, like, two basses, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened.
Do you play acoustic as well, like stand-up?
I can, but...
You can,
I actually really think it's amazing. I love it. It's really good, but I always forget to go and buy one.
Yeah.
Whenever I see one, I play it, you know.
Yeah.
I always forget to go and buy an acoustic bass.
Yeah, well, they're kind of a burden, too. I mean, you know, they're
the
weighty.
Thing is, I reckon the sort of thing that, like, when I'm old and I've got a house and stuff, I'll buy an acoustic bass. But it's just like electric basses. You can throw them around and they still work.
Yeah, it's a bit
like
a tank.
I'm not into taking care of things too much, you know what I mean? So electric basses kind of look after themselves, whereas I get a scene like acoustic bass, you throw around too much, it's just going to
be and there's, you know, you can puncture it, and the tuning and intonation is different. I mean, you play fretless already, so the intonation isn't that much of a problem, but...
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the scale of a double bass is loads longer, though.
Oh, it's huge, yeah.
Like one semitone on it is like it's about half the size, again, of a semitone on the top end of a electric bass. But, I mean, you know... weird anyway, because I haven't even, like, my hands are not, I don't reckon they're like, they're bass guitar hands anyway, really.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, just luckily managed to suss it anyway.
Yeah, well, that's good. So you actually are doing those gigs, and you...
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's not very many of them. But
no,
like,
no, of course, yeah.
They're well low-key, but I'm into it anyway, because I'm into, like, the only problem is that every time I do it, they advertise it as fucking square pusher instead of...
I hate that, yeah.
Crap.
Should never...
It's really, like, because the promoter just takes advantage of the fact that I'm loads more well-known than they are, so therefore they use my name to promote it. But it's not fair, because it's not fair on the other members of the group, because it's just like, for a start, we're not playing my music. They're not my compositions.
Right.
I'm just, like, as far as I'm concerned with that group, I'm, like, I'm one musician out of three musicians who are playing, you know? I'm not...
Right.
Square push or that, or what, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, plus, it's not fair to the people that would go to see you, you know, and
well, the thing
want
is,
to hear breaks
though,
and all that.
It has actually worked out, though, because the kids who have gone along thinking it's square push have turned up, and they've a few of them, like, leave when it starts up. and then, like, a lot of them at the end are going, yeah, shit, I didn't even, like, know it's going to be like that, but it's wicked, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is really good stuff. We're just, like, hardcore improvising, you know, and it's fucking really visceral.
It's real energy, stuff those guys do is really visceral, real energy jazz.
Totally, like, unadulterated, it's just really fucking good.
Yeah, and loud.
Yeah, really loud. I mean, Paul Hessian's, like, real loud.
That guy's fucking rock,
he's
great.
Yeah, totally, so, no, it's great. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, it's a really good sort of, good balance, you know what I mean?
So. Right. So there's that, and did you end up playing with Derek at all, or did that thing get cancelled?
No, because people were asking me about this, and I never fucking did it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not even like... The thing is, it's just like, as much as I like all those people, they don't really feel like part of my era, you know?
Yeah, oh, sure,
And it's like, for me to do that, it seems quite self-indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like and it doesn't really seem like an honour or a challenge.
Right.
I just think it's just like, it's just really easy. Do you know what I mean? It's actually like...
Well, that's one way to approach it, yeah,
and it's just like, sometimes I just think, well, I'm into doing it, but I mean, the thing I want to concentrate on most of my energy on is just my own stuff in the studio, you know?
No, I hear that.
Because, I mean, anyway, so much has been done with, like, live improv music and stuff that I just think, like... I'm into doing it because it's fun and stuff, but what I'm mostly into is fucking what you can create in a studio, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's the main reason I'm so fascinated with it, is that it's, you have obviously this very sort of high tech, I mean, you're sort of gradually getting into tech as well. I can hear there's a lot of computer shit on this record more than in the past, so you're doing stuff on computers now instead of hardware, right?
Well, actually, I'm not actually using computers yet.
Well, I mean, there's some, like, digital processing and stuff.
But there is DSP.
Yeah, so I can hear that.
Yeah.
But the, but it's just funny that you sort of do this stuff that's very sort of non-real time, and it's very step time, and everything you do is, like, you know, microscopic, you know.
Totally.
Editing. But then at the same time, you have this aside where you do just this pure real time, almost acoustic stuff, although you're playing electric when you play those gigs, right?
Yeah.
But still, it's like the whole presence of it all is very
acoustic,
straight and real time. That's why I'm sort of fascinated with the fact that you do that and you do this square pusher stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why.
But it's essential for me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I'd go mad.
Yeah, of course.
Both those things, they're two poles that, like, I'm always oscillating between, you know.
Right.
And I suppose because the stuff I'm doing now is so devoid of a live feel.
Right.
I mean, it's like the most contrived, plasticky music I think I've made yet. But that's why I think I'm probably like also in my spare time yearn for a bit of live music, you know.
Yeah, I know, everybody. I mean, it's like you can't go through a phase where all you listen to is sequences and this and that.
Bullshit.
Yeah, so, totally. I mean, it's good to stay alive.
But, I mean, going back to that, I think most people have asked me so far, and it's probably inevitable, but I'll say it anyway. So it's like the plastic thing, you know, it's like the Go Plastic title and stuff. It's like, it's a bit of a joke, I mean.
Yeah, I figured it was on the inside, you know.
But, I mean, on the other hand, it's just like, but, I don't know, it's, what I can see is that as far as studio creations go, I just, like, think, the more the more contrived, the more fake, the more plastic, the more I'm into it at the moment.
Right.
I get into how sort of unreal it all is. It's like a total Disneyland. Not Disneyland, but it's like a sort of adventure playground on acid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just, I don't know, or like a toy shop, just fucking gaining its own fucking conscience. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do, actually. That's the scary thing, is that I do. But okay. So listen, Warp sent me the album, and I can tell. I mean, there's this stuff on here. There's like this sort of pop tune, and then there's this sort of ring mod kind of jazz stuff that you do. But then there's this other stuff. It doesn't really sound like anything you've done before, and that's like the Greenway's Trajectory and My Fucking Sound and that stuff, where you're getting into this more kind of really bombastic. It almost sounds like the drums are more generative than sort of hand placed.
Yeah.
You're not doing any sort of like computer or hardware stuff. You're doing generative drum programming, or are you just doing it all actual bar for bar?
No, it's all bar for bar.
So you're actually playing it down, because some of it has this very loose kind of, you know, obviously you have that free jazz angle.
Yeah.
And you're coming from that, and the drums are very sort of Rashida Lee or whatever. But then there's also like this very music and cret kind of thing happening at the same time.
Yeah, sure.
Where
the
sound spaces, where this is sort of reverb that comes in, and these kind of sliding ring mod sounds. And
yeah, right.
That's, you're definitely taking that further out than you have before, I think.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the thing is, it's just like, you know, I'm always on the rebound from something, but I'm now rebounding away from the smoothness.
Yeah.
Of stuff I was doing a couple of years ago.
That's good. No, it's gratifying. It really. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, I'm so banging. All I can see at the moment is pushing those angles more and more, really, making it more unreal and less, you know, less kind of. I don't know. I mean, I am interested in. I'm totally bang into like computers. Don't get me wrong. Anti computers at all. It's just like, my perspective on it is that I'm into using like one or two bits of software only.
Right.
You know.
So that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, there's a million things out there. You have to focus. You know, you have to use what you use.
I'm not into like, because I think when I see like a lot of people, just they have like so many bits of software.
Yeah.
And yet they hardly really don't really do that much with any of it.
Well, I mean, there are so many, but everyone has its function. I mean, there's things that are like sort of Logic and Cubase, and they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
But then as far as all the sound design stuff, though, I mean, it seems like every sound design app does one thing and does one thing well, and it's good for that.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, what are the stuff they're using besides for sound design?
On that record, that is actually just immediately, that's music made immediately prior to getting the computer.
Oh, okay.
So all that stuff is still done, but I was using like DSP hardware.
Hardware?
Eventide stuff.
Oh, like an Eventide harmonizer and broadcast stuff.
Yeah, like DSP 4000 and all that stuff.
Okay, yeah, because I hear this sort of that bit-crushing sound that comes in at the end. That's a very sort of computer giveaway sound.
Yeah, I mean, that's all done on like a DSP hardware shit.
Well, that's cool. That's a sort of really interesting approach.
Yeah.
Only because the computer stuff is so prevalent that to take an actual standalone hardware box and do stuff
like
that.
Yeah, no, but I mean, those things are just, they sound so foul.
Well, it is a PC, you know, in a rack mount. That's all those things. All an Eventide is. It's just.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
it's just a machine,
like
Yeah,
I mean, this is why I'm saying it would be senseless for me to say, like, I don't like computers.
It's I mean, it's the same. Like, the Akai is a computer. I mean, it's a 286, you know.
Absolutely,
it's just.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like a. But. Yeah, so I mean, I'm just kind of like, I'm just into sort of like, I mean, I'm not really like, I'm trying to write at the moment. What I'm trying to do is like write loads of stuff in, have you heard of PD?
Oh, of course, yeah, that's the PC port of Max, right? Miller
that's
Puckett's.
Right, yeah, that's
Miller Puckett's thing. Yeah, that's great. That's a really great environment.
Yeah, I'm really fooling around with that.
Yeah, I'm using the exact same thing actually for guitar, for playthrough stuff.
Oh, right.
And it works really well in real time. I mean, the Mac version. Oh, I do, you know, this guitar music, it's computer guitar music. It's like,
Right.
And, you know, I do stuff that's similar to Square Pusher stuff, but
that's wicked, that PD, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's great,
good.
It's really amazing. It's all objects, too, so if you have any sort of intuition towards computer programming at all, you can really get right into it.
Beautiful, isn't it? I really think that is amazing, that.
Yeah, it's good. So using a PC, have you used that audio mulch stuff yet? That's pretty interesting.
No, I've got it, but the only things I've used are PD and Reactor.
Yeah, Reactor's great, of course.
Reactor's amazing. I mean, I've built like a load of stuff on that now. But the thing is that the stuff I've done, it's a bit senseless to talk about it because you haven't heard any of it.
Right.
So, like all that stuff that I've just been released is stuff I was doing up until about, I think it was, yeah, like towards the middle of, like sort of middle to the end, like middle of last year, like sort of right. autumn last year, that was finished, that all yeah. that year.
So, I mean, were you doing this sequence stuff intermittently with the sort of live feel records? So you were sort of going back and forth, or you just stopped?
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, it's, yeah, I mean, like, the supposed, like, chronology of my record is completely fake.
Right.
It's like, there isn't any, you know, if I was actually to play you what I've done in sequence over right. the years, then it wouldn't make, you wouldn't have that, you know, because it's like, I like having a sort of like portraying like a fake flow.
Right.
But it's really, it's bullshit. It's like, I just make like loads more music than I ever release. But I'm into sort of like putting out records that it kind of like, it's like I'm like sort of painting a picture along. It's totally contrived.
Yeah.
Because alongside live stuff, I'd be doing sequence stuff and stuff. And all these things, it's just like more like, instead of I'm only concentrating on one thing,
right.
it's more like I just, when it comes to like releasing a record, like Warp will go, okay, look, we want an album, then I'll just like compile an album that I think, well, yeah, that's kind of you know, there's a lot of little bunch of stuff there you go, and then it's just, but the flow that my sort of career has had is pretty bogus. It's like, if I was actually to play everything, because it's only about 20% of what I've done.
Right.
And I wouldn't even say, like, necessarily it's like, you know, I reckon, like, there's a lot more, I don't know, I mean, I don't even know, really, but it's just like...
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, you have to make a coherent record. You have to take the things that are like and put them together, and you have to take the things that are sort of, that make sense together and do that.
Yeah, whatever it makes, a kind of...
Yeah.
Like
if you did a record that was sort of four-track stuff intermingled with this, you know, heavy sort of processing, sequencing stuff, then, you know, it would, people would like it. A certain faction would, but other factions would get confused and
yeah, I mean, I
perhaps a little scared.
I mean, I don't care. I mean, I think people get confused regardless, but like,
right.
well, otherwise people get excited as well.
Right.
Who knows? But I just like kind of, anyway, it's just like, it's a shame because there's, one day I reckon I'm going to release everything I've done, actually, because there's, I reckon I've released, what I generally release in terms of percentages is about 20 or 30%,
right.
I reckon. But like, there's like, I've got loads and loads of stuff building up that I think I'm going to like put out some.
Yeah, I should do some.
Going to really let the floodgates open soon.
Box set or a CD of MP3s or something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I want to. Yeah, I reckon what I'll do is like, I'll start an MP3 thing. Like,
yeah.
Put like a.
You figure
like
you can
1,000 MP3s
right.
on the internet.
11 hours of MP3s on a CD, even.
It'd be,
you know.
Cool, you know what I mean? I'd be so into doing that because.
Yeah.
And then maybe like. It would be, you know, when I could talk to journalists, we could really talk, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, I'm always just thinking, shit, yeah, but I can't really even talk about this shit because you don't know. And it's, you know, with the kind of current, like, you know, things are getting so opened up now with the internet and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really like, I'm trying to bide my time, work out the best way of doing it, you know what I mean? Because I think there's, like, it's important to retain the mystery as a fucking artist, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, if you blow your fucking... every single trick you've got in the book doesn't help you, I don't think. In fact, it's like the same thing of like putting, instead of like putting, filling a CD full of music regardless of like just filling it halfway, because if you fill it halfway but the what you've put on there fits together, then that is better than 74 minutes of music that doesn't necessarily gel.
Right.
Because that's
listening
to 74 minutes worth of music that doesn't gel is loads less gratifying than listening to 10 minutes of music that
does. Well, that's why the singles are good, you know, that's why singles are essential.
Totally,
not as, you know, I don't view them as sort of this tool to promote the record or whatever, it's always, I think with you especially, the EPs have been probably your strongest stuff, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. so right off the bat, even the early ones, I mean, the sort of the splits and the Warm Interface stuff was good, you know, because it was like a year apart, we get this little taste of two tracks, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And then, you know, you wait a year and then you've got another one or whatever, you know, I had this vision of you sort of sitting alone in your room, just working on this one track for 6 months, you know, I know now it's not the case, but.
Yeah, no, but whatever, I mean, you know, think what you want, because the thing is, it's probably true at some point.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about some other things as far as influences. I mean, I've sort of mentioned this music concrete thing earlier. Are you sort of following that stuff and the early sort of historic electronic stuff?
Well, I mean...
You know, like Pierre Henry and all
that. Totally. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I'm just like not really willing to sort of go on about one person in general, because it's just like I love checking it, but I'm not sort of I'm not fetishistic about it.
I understand.
I'm not a collector of music, you know.
Right.
I don't really, compared to a lot of people, I don't reckon I've probably got very many records.
Yeah.
You know, I just love listening to things, but I don't like hanging on to them. I like you know, I love hearing it, but I won't like fucking sit there analysing it endlessly.
No.
You know, because that's, you know, so. Definitely, I mean, I'm influenced as by like music concrete composers. There's no ways about it. But I'm just as influenced by the sound of a lorry going past my bedroom. So it's you know, it's kind of no. I mean, I do love those things. I really do. But I think I'd love so much that it's so weird talking about influences, because I actually feel like I'm influenced by everything.
Well, yeah, your best influences are never conscious, you know. They're the things that you don't realize until
totally.
10 years after the fact. You go, oh, you know, that's, I didn't realize I heard that song once when I was 5. And
yeah, and it kind of formed your architecture of your brain from it without you knowing.
Yeah. I brought that up just because of this. I mean, this
no, new, absolutely. I mean,
this new record, sort of the space of all the tracks, just the way everything, the sort of different reverbs in different rooms and different, that kind of thing, it seems very keyed into that whole scene. That
totally
sort of,
valid.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, one of the things I'm quite into is the how sort of you can kind of make it. You can kind of say anything, and it's kind of valid anyway. You know,
sure.
I mean, it's
just
like I'm sort of into sort of quite being pretty directionless. You know, like in a sort of, I don't know. I like the way that you can get you can have a piece of music and then it all sort of. It will at least attempt to adapt itself to its situation. Like it can take part in different things in different ways. Like you play it in different places and it says different things, and, you know, different rooms. And you know, I love that angle of things, how they can be ambiguous. I mean, I suppose it's. I mean, going back to the influences thing, I think one of the reasons that I can't help but just be influenced by everything, because I feel like. Unfortunately, in a lot of ways for me, I feel like my eyes have been pinned open far too wide to be able to have a distance from the world. You know, I feel like I've taken so much information about the world that it frightens me. You know, it's really frightening to be me sometimes, because. There is no, I'm not joking.
It's, okay.
No. I mean, like, I actually, if I wasn't making music, I think I would be in a mental home.
Oh.
It's the only way I can actually feel like I'm keeping up with the pace of the world. You know, I actually really think it's the only way that I can stay afloat is to instantly channel whatever's coming into my head back out again. You know what I mean?
Right.
In a way, it's like, actually, I'm relieving myself of it. I'm sending up the world just for my own sake, because otherwise it would fucking drown me.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? This is like this pure survival mechanism for me, music.
Yeah.
You know, and it so happens that it's got a lot of interesting angles. Like, I get to talk to different people and journalists, and I meet other musicians, and it is really like it's brilliant. But it's not motivated from an academic point of view. It's motivated purely from keeping a flow in the world, you know.
Right.
It's the only way I feel somehow like I'm forced to sort of see too much, and I can't help it, and I take everything on board. But this is the only way that I can feel like I'm staying abreast of it. If that makes any sense.
It does.
Yeah.
In a loose coherency, it makes sense. Yeah.
Say that again.
In a loose sort of coherency, it makes sense. I understand what you're getting at, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, you can't understand it. You can merely appreciate what I'm saying,
right.
Unless you were like that yourself. You can't understand it, because it would just seem like, you know, I was saying that to sound hard or something. It really is, you know, there is nothing else that is totally the truth, unfortunately. Because it's, you know, I see myself as a pure combination of the sort of the facets of my parents' mentalities are such that my dad is like a workaholic. He's really hardcore craftsman and stuff. He's really, really, really sort of diligent, kind of making things and stuff with his hands and stuff. And then my mum's like a, she's like a psychic. So it's kind of like a combination of these two things, where I'm sort of like, she's the same as me in the fact that she gets freaked out because she's so aware of everything that's going on that it does her head in, because there's so much shit stuff out there that it kind of fucks with you quite a large degree. But I'm also, I managed, because of the sort of work aspect of my dad, that I'm actually managing to churn it back into something which is like got a physical form, you know.
Right.
And that's really good for me, because if I couldn't do that, then I'd just be like her, which is like in and out of sort of homes and stuff. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, kind of, but she's really, I mean, I look after her anyway. The thing is, I always see my music as like, it's for them as well. It's for my brothers and for my mum and dad, you know. Because I'm actually making sense of their lives for them, you know.
Right.
It's really weird. I only feel like an interpreter. I don't feel like a person, really.
Yeah. Well, that's very chivalrous in its own, you know, that you're sort of...
Kind of, yeah.
Most people, their sort of creation of music is very sort of, not a greedy ass thing to do, but it's... It's for them. It's a very personal statement, and yours is a very personal statement. Yet it's got different, you know, angles than
Absolutely.
Just being sort of for the people, for yourself. It's for close friends, and it's interpretations of other people's emotions. That's
Absolutely.
Really,
yeah. That's why I always feel like
an
interpreter between my mum and dad as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're so fucking different. I actually feel like an interpreter, and that is what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay. Well, let's break this sort of heavy. Heavy-handed stuff for a second. I just kind of branch out. I want to talk to you about breaks in general, and sort of about this sort of source and how you approach this stuff. And I hear this, like, you seem to use sort of a combination of the sort of classics of jungle stuff, the Amens, your Apaches, your Titan Up, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So did you research that stuff? Did you, like, find the records, or did you? You've got originals of, like, all the James Brown stuff, and and the sort of incredible bongo band and all that. Because actually, you don't use Apache that much. I noticed.
I've never used
Yeah, that's really funny, because it's like you use the Amen, you use the Think, and, you know, the Lin break and all that stuff, but then there's never any Apache on there.
No, I've never used, because the thing is, for some reason, I've never liked Apache, actually, for some reason.
Yeah, I understand, it doesn't speed up very well. Your tempo, it doesn't really hold together, so.
Hold on, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
What? This is Keith, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is, yeah. Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, I don't know, I didn't... I think it's like, I love it, but actually it's too complicated.
Yeah, there's too much of it too. There's like 2 minutes of Apache break in the middle.
I'm bothered with it, mate. I mean, it's just like, I love the aiming because it's so simple.
Yeah, it's perfect. It really is. I think that I was talking about it the other day. That's got to be the best 9 seconds of recorded sound, you know?
It's unreal.
It's unreal.
It's fucking phenomenal. It's just...
Yeah, I think we may have found the drummer. The guy that plays that, his name is G.C. Coleman.
Right.
He lives in Washington, D.C. Still alive.
Mental.
You know, he was like in the Impressions, the drummer.
Yeah, right, really.
Yeah, and basically the Winstons were the backing band for the Impressions in the late 60s.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
But yeah, apparently he's still alive. He's like a minister. He's living in Washington, D.C.
Mental.
So think about what kind of damage would be, happen if we got that guy and told him exactly what happened with his drums. And
oh, my God.
We're talking like not even thousands of records anymore. It's like, you know, tens of thousands of records.
Oh, no, there must be literally getting on for 100,000 records.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, but it is just, it's like, it's beyond drums. It's just like a 909 or something.
It's just it's the perfect sound. It's the perfect air, the perfect room, the perfect drum set, the perfect feel.
Yeah, it's
that's it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's so, but I mean, in that sense, it's just beyond, I don't know, it's just like a, it's just a tool, you know what I mean? It's just like a, it's because it's that perfect, it actually just, it just becomes like a 909 drum machine.
Yeah. It's funny, just there's a lot of blowback, especially Amen, where there's a phase of 6 months where people will absolutely hate any Amen tracks.
Yeah.
And then it's like 6 months later, it's like a rejuvenation, and you've got, I mean, it's sort of Raga is becoming again in the States, it's sort of coming back up again. There's like sort of retro Raga labels putting out stuff, and there's a lot of like, which is cool, you know. I never got sick of that stuff to begin with, you know.
Right,
I think it's amazing, and there's like suburban bass and Chrome and Time and all that stuff.
Right,
you
know? Mate, yeah. Love
but,
that.
Yeah, it's just really funny. You know,
people like, you know, it's just fucking like, I never listen to people's attitudes or opinions because it's just so fucking, so fluid anyway.
Yeah.
Just also because of my own opinions and attitudes are always, it's just like you think, well, all those things are transient, you know. It's just important to stay in tune with what fucking buzzes you, man. I mean, that is the only thing anybody can do, I think. Whatever. So, if that happens to be the amen bait, fucking so be it. If it happens to be the, you know, like, sort of continually wheeling out kind of copies of, like, Jimi Hendrix solos, that's also cool, but that's not me, you know?
Right.
It's just like, it's whatever. It's like, the only thing I can ever say is just like, if I can definitely appreciate if someone is doing something for the right reasons, even if I don't like it, you can see that it's like, I mean, where I come from, like, is musically speaking, it's pretty backwards. I mean, it's just like there's, all there is really is like a blues, there's like a blues scene with like loads of old men just playing like fucking...
This is in Sheffield or...?
No, this is in Chelmsford.
Chelmsford. So you're living in Chelmsford now?
No, I live in London now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On the east side, so it's near us, on the Essex side of...
You grew up in Chelmsford though, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
So there's like a blues scene.
Yeah.
And then, which is like all the old, like 40 to 50 year old blokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got like this sort of, like a funk, like a jazz fusion funk scene, which is like people sort of my age, a bit older, sort of 20 to 30 something.
Yeah.
And then there's like a crap sort of indie rock scene, which is like 10 to 20.
Right.
Or to 15 to 20 year old sort of type thing. And it's just like really all of it's, it just used to depress me, you know what I mean? It's just like, okay, yeah, it's not, some of it's cool, but it's just, I could only like, I don't know really, it's just, it was, it's, I don't, I really like, it's cool as it is, but it's just when I was involved with it, it did used to depress me a bit, because how people were only into one thing.
Right.
And they'd always bitch about like, oh fuck, you know, it's only, you know, it's all those other wankers doing that blues thing, they're shit, or if that's indie wankers, they're shit, or oh, they're those jazz wankers, they're shit. And it's just like, oh fuck, man. I mean, it's just like everyone's just doing their thing, you know. I mean, it's just like, just so happens that they're doing something different. But I'm just like, fucking, I was into all of it. But
right.
none of them were actually, nobody within those scenes wanted to actually fucking do anything, really. They were like fucking boring. They were just like, yeah, we didn't want to mash up, you know, like, you say you do a studio recording and then you have some guy playing a solo or some guitar shit or whatever, and then you think, well, what I want to do with this solo is fucking like time stretch it and then get this one note and freeze it and then do this and detune it, and they'll be going like, what do you mean, you know, like, why do you want to do that, that's like a brilliant solo. I'm saying, yeah, but it's wicked. I mean, like, why don't we mash it up? Because I'm like, as much as I'm creative, I want to destroy things, you know. I love like the dissolving like identity in music. It's brilliant, you know what I mean, because like you have a solo, it's like the most personal thing ever.
Sure.
And then like, you know, then you can, but I just think, well, why not fucking dissolve it, you know? Why not fucking dissolve the identity in it? I mean, I'm into both things. I'm into the identity and I'm into smashing the identity as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I mean, fuck, I mean, it's just, that's, and nobody of my contemporaries wanted to do that. So I just ended up like doing it all on my own, really. Which has led me to want this thing now. So whatever.
Transmission, a one-way transmission to God. That's what they call it. Yeah.
Anyway, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, you sound like you're parched. We should get off. So I think I got all my sort of good information.
Cool.
What else was going to ask you about? Oh, yeah, you're playing with Tortoise in London?
Yeah, I'm doing a gig with him in May.
Have you met those guys already, previously?
No.
Yeah.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, good guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're friends of mine.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll be just an interesting show, because there's sort of a lot, you know, they're playing like, there's like a free, another like cool, the tabletop free jazz kind of guitarist is playing, and then you got them, and they're kind of doing their sort of, you know, post-Miles kind of freak out stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it'll just be a good night, you know.
I reckon so.
Yeah.
Let's hope
so. And they're your label mates now, that's right, I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah. Fine, man.
Whatever.
Yeah, indeed. All right, mate. Well,
all right, it was good talking.
Good on you, man.
All right.
See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.